So today's message is titled Joy in Thinking. And we all have heard about the power of thoughts. And it's interesting that you mentioned that sometimes your mind, your thoughts wander. We're gonna mention something about that today. Many people believe that they can accomplish things by thinking positive on these things. There are many who believe that if they think they can do it, they can do it. If they think they cannot do it, they cannot do it. There are teachers, instructors, coaches earning their livelihood teaching people about these things, about thinking and projecting their lives and projecting their careers. And you probably heard phrases in advertisement like, you can do it, or just do it, or believe you can do it, or believe in yourself. This is Henry Ford, and this is what he said many, many years ago. Whether you believe you can or not, you are right. Because if you say to your mind that you cannot do something, you probably won't be able to do it. Or if you say that you can, you might have a chance to actually do it. So we know that there's power in thinking. This is a French philosopher named René Descartes. In his best known philosophical statement, he said, I think, therefore, I am. So now he's shaping who he is or who we are by the fact that we think. Unfortunately, this concept falls short of what the Bible says. The idea that I think, therefore, I am brings in the fact that as humans, or not the fact, the thought that as humans, we validate our existence by thinking. But we know, according to the Bible, and especially according to the Apostle Paul, that we validate our Christianity not only by thinking, but by thinking and living accordingly. By knowing and learning and thinking and meditating and then acting accordingly. Have you ever been there? Yeah, that's Wall Street in New York. We live in a time where the biggest war going on is probably the war for the mind. And the world is constantly bombarding us with things, books, movies, music, magazine, billboards, TV, social media, and ads all over the place. If you go to New York, wherever you look, there's an advertisement. And even if you go to YouTube to try to watch a sermon, you might be bombarded by some advertisement in the middle of the sermon. And the goal is to try to make you think and act in a certain way. You know, globally, people average 6 hours and 58 minutes on screen every day. And here in America, the average American spends 7 hours and 4 minutes. It's a little over the world average. 7 hours of screen time every single day. And you get bombarded by 1,500 ads every single day when you spend that much time on the screen. And they're all designed, all these ads are designed by people who know how we think. The programs follow your preferences, what you click, what you spend more time with, and then they feed your feed with things that you are interested in, so they know how you think. One of the goals is probably to control your pocket. That's pretty much the main goal of marketing. Where you spend your money, how you spend your money. But also another goal is to get you to think or act in a certain way. But as Christians, we need to make sure that we are thinking for ourselves. We're not being led by other people's ideas. We need to make sure that we are contemplating things of God more than the things of the world. And that is probably a little hard if we spend 6, 7, 8 hours on the screen every day. Seven hours a day. 1,500 ads. You know, I believe that we as Christians should be thinkers. Some Christians, though, they believe we don't need to think much. We need to feel. And we need to feel good. We need to be moved by emotions. We need to feel the Holy Spirit. But if we remember what we are called to do in Mark 12, verse 30, when Jesus summarizes the law, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." We are called to think. And with all your strength. And this morning, we're going to meditate upon the Apostle Paul's words about the proper way to think. And the proper way of thinking may help us to live better lives. You know, Paul talks about joy and about rejoicing, and again, your song, Sarah, was perfect, because we're going to go back a little bit in the book of Philippians. We're going to go back to a few other verses, and Paul is always in his letters talking about joy and about rejoicing. He does that many times in the book of Philippians, as he writes this letter to the church of Philippi. And if you go through chapter 1 of Philippians, he talks about having joy despite of circumstances. And if you know this, Paul is in prison as he writes this letter. And he believes that he may not leave that place. He may die there. But still, he talks about having joy despite of the things that he's going through. In verse 18 of chapter 1 of Philippians, if you want to open your Bibles, Philippians 1, verse 18. Look what he says. "Only that in every way," that's the final part of the verse, "only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." So despite of things going on with him or around him, despite of that, he still says, "I'll rejoice." In chapter 2, he talks about how much joy would it bring to him if the Philippians would be like-minded. If you go to Philippians 2, verse 2, he says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being one accord, being of one mind." In chapter 3, Paul talks about having joy despite of things. Go to verses 7 and 8. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." So despite of things, he still finds joy in the Lord. And then if you go to the chapter 4, he talks about joy in the midst of fear, of worry, and of anxiety. And if you read verses 6 and 7, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus." So this peace that he mentions here not only involves the heart, but it also involves the mind. And the wrong type of thinking can lead to the wrong type of feelings. And soon enough, the heart and the mind are flooded with fear, worry, and anxiety. And if anyone can speak on this topic of joy, it's Paul. No matter how things are going, good or bad in his life, mostly bad, he was always being persecuted, went through storms and shipwrecks and bitten and prison, but he still find joy, or found joy. Philippians 4 verse 8 will talk about right thinking. So let's read. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue in it, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So let me ask you a question. What do you think about during your day? That's a very broad question, right? Maybe your answer would be, well, it depends. Depends on the day. Depends on what you're doing on that day or in that moment. Like if you just started a 10-day juice fast, like some have done here quite a few times, what do you think while you're going through that? Maybe you think about your next juice. It's going to be that kale juice. Or maybe it's the coconut and pineapple that someone loves. Or maybe you just, when is that going to be over? When can I eat? So depending on what you're going through, that may bring your thoughts toward things related to what you're going through. Maybe you're working in something and you have a deadline, like next week we have convention. If there's so much to be done until then, maybe you have that report that needs to be done and you need to spend the night working on it. So your thoughts are all focused on that. Maybe you are in love with someone and you can only think on that person. Or you just had a baby and you have all your thoughts toward that little baby. It's estimated that human beings have about 10,000 thoughts a day. Every single day. And why is this important? Well, because What we think about during the day may shape our lives in things that we do. In the Bible, there's a lot of correlation between thinking and doing, or learning and doing, or knowing and doing. So you think, you meditate, and then you put it into practice. In the book of Romans, Paul spends the first 11 chapters teaching concepts that the Romans should know or should learn. Then on chapter 12, he starts with, "Now, therefore," or "Now that you learn," or "Now that you thought about all of these, present your body as a living sacrifice." So now that you thought, do, act. In the book of Ephesians, we can also find the same dynamic of learning, thinking, knowing, and then doing. Things that we think about can lead us to the right living or to the wrong kind of living. Let me read this quote from the book Messages to Young People. Ellen White says, and the topic is thoughts form character. And she says, "As a man thinketh," that's Proverbs 23:7, "as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." Many thoughts make up the unwritten story of a single day. And these thoughts have much to do with the formation of character. Our thoughts are to be strictly guarded. For one impure thought makes a deep impression in the soul. It only requires one. Can you think about those 1,500 ads popping up on your face? Just one bad thought or bad idea can cause this deep impression in the soul. An evil thought leaves an evil impress on the mind. If the thoughts are pure and holy, the man is better for having cherished them. By them, the spiritual pulse is quickened and the power for doing good is increased. As one drop of rain prepares the way for another in moistening the earth, so one good thought prepares the way for another. So one good thought leads to another. If we keep thinking and worrying about things that can happen or might happen, or things that will never happen, things that we cannot control, we'll just be adding worry, anxiety to our lives. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. The last part of the verse says, "Bringing every thought into captivity to obedience, to the obedience of Christ." You know, someone once said, "You sow a thought and you reap an action. You sow an act and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny." It all starts with a thought. And this is probably why Paul, bringing us in this chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, these rules for right thinking. And on verse 8, he starts with, "Finally, brethren." What does that mean? He spent the whole letter bringing you to this process of thinking, meditating, learning things that will be good to you. And then he says, "Finally." So it means, well, in conclusion, my last thoughts. Some preachers like to, "and finally," but then they spend another 45 minutes. Not going to do that. This is not my finally. This is Paul's finally, okay? whatever things are true. That's how he started. You know, it's estimated that about 82% of our thoughts are simply not true. Out of 10,000 thoughts a day, 8,200 are simply not true. Forty percent of the things we think and worry about will never, ever happen. Never, ever. Like, who's afraid of sharks? I know there are some people afraid of sharks. And some people really worry about being attacked or bitten by a shark, even though they live in Colorado, thousands of miles away from the ocean. And they think that if they go to the beach and take a dive, they might get attacked by a shark. You know what are the odds to be attacked by a shark? I'll tell you. One every 3.7 million. That means you need to take a swim 3,700,000 times to get attacked once. It's amazing. And people are scared to death of going into the water because they are afraid of sharks. Who are afraid of lightning? What are the odds of being stricken by lightning here in the United States? And I know it varies from place to place. Some places receive more lightning during storms than other places. Like Brazil is the number one country on the lightning count for every year. And the state where we used to live there, where our family live in Brazil, state of São Paulo, is one of the highest, with the highest incidence of lightning strikes. But still, I don't know personally anyone, and I'm 48 years old, I don't know a single person that were struck by lightning. The odds here in the United States, one every 15,300. So if you go 15,300 times to a storm, chances are you're going to get stricken by lightning once. Well, if you count how many storms we have here in Eden Valley, that will take us about maybe 20 years, 40 years. Thirty percent of things that we think are in the past, and there's nothing we can do about them. Nothing can be changed. You know, we think about the would-haves, the should-haves, the could-have. Oh, if I only had done that. It's okay to meditate upon things of your past to shape your future and say, okay, I know that this is a problem. I want to do different next time. But it's not healthy to have that past thing going on and on and on in your mind every time you remember it. Twelve percent of our 10,000 daily thoughts are false criticism. People who say something about us and it comes to our ears, they are simply not true. But we tend to believe, or we tend to worry about it. Even if we know it's not true, we worry about it. And we allow lies to come in and take away our joy. Now, 10% of our daily thoughts are health related. Most of them, for most people, they're not going to take any actions to do anything different. So if you do take actions to change things in your health, then those are good. But if you don't, it's just adding anxiety and stress to your life. And only 8% are things that we worry and are actually gonna happen. Maybe problems that we're gonna face. So if you think about this 82% here, this big number of things that we think every single day, most of our anxiety comes from false ideas, unreal circumstances, unreal thoughts, things that could never ever happen, and we still spend time worrying about it. And this is why Paul says we gotta focus on what's true. That's why he starts with whatever things are true. Don't allow the lies of the enemy to come into your mind, to permeate your mind and your life. So the next thing he says on verse 8 is, whatever is noble. That means whatever is worthy of respect, of honor, reverence, awe. And if we think about what we can replace for whatever is noble, who do you think is worthy of respect and honor and reverence and awe? Christ. So we should think on Christ. The next is whatever things are just. And just means righteous. Something that conforms with God's standards. The thoughts that come into our minds should be thoughts of righteousness. Should remind ourselves of righteousness. We know that the enemy loves to make you feel guilty, to make you feel like a loser. He loves to whisper lies into your ears and accuse you. Oh, I can't believe you did it again. Oh, God is really mad at you. But when we think on righteousness, in things that are true, in what Christ did and does for us, you don't believe in the lies. You know that Christ's righteousness covers you. So whenever the lies come, you block yourself. You know you cannot avoid birds. You cannot prevent them from flying over your head. The same applies to thoughts. You cannot avoid bad thoughts to sneak in to our minds. But you can prevent birds from nesting on your head. So you can prevent these bad ideas and thoughts and false things to nest, to be in your mind, and you spend time with it. You can prevent that. Now when we hear things, especially things about others, we could use this simple, this little acronym for the word think. Whenever you hear something, you think. And for think, we could bring some words to help us to decide what to do with that information. The first letter, T, true. So, is it true? If you fall short, boom. Don't even continue considering. Is it helpful? So is that information going to help someone? Especially, will help that person or help me if I'm involved with this? The next, is it inspiring? Will that inspire people on doing or being better? Is it necessary? Not everything that's true is actually necessary on that moment for that person. Some things are simply not the right thing to be said on that moment, even though it might be true. And lastly, is he kind? So how does the people involved on that thing will feel if they know that this is being said about them? Let's continue. The next one is whatever things are pure. And when I think about things that are pure, I think about a pure, fresh stream water. You go to the mountain and you see those little streams going on and little waterfalls. The definition, the dictionary definition of the word pure is not mixed or adulterated, without unnecessary elements, free of any contamination. Can you think of some examples of things that are pure? In the book of John, chapter 4, verse 14, Christ says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." That is a pure water. And that is Christ himself. He is pure. We can also think about the Bible. The Bible is pure. The Bible is the Word of God. And it's pure. Talking about purity, in Psalm 119, verse 9, David asks a question. And he says, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" This is also translated for, "How can a young man keep his ways pure?" Which he answers saying, "By taking heed according to your word." So the word of God, as you take it into your mind, into your heart, can create purity within you. And as you study the word of God, and you apply it, it changes you inside out. And now, you are able to have better thoughts. You know, some people don't like to read the Bible or to hear about the Bible. And if you say something, they may reply, "No, Bible is full of contradictions." Well, how can they know if they didn't read? What they are really saying is that the Bible contradicts their lives and they don't like it. So we need to be careful on how we react to wrong things in our lives. And when we are confronted with truth, instead of rejecting, we allow the Bible to purify our thoughts, purify our hearts with the action of the Holy Spirit. Next, whatever things are lovely. You know, this word lovely is very, very rare in the Bible. And it means something beautiful, attractive, friendly. If you read John 15, verse 3, Christ says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." That's a lovely thing. That's an example of lovely. And we cannot think about anything more beautiful or more lovely than what Jesus did. Our friend giving up his life on the cross so he could have eternal life. Next, whatever things are of good report. Are we concentrating on the good or only on the report? Sometimes we focus on the report. We want to know it. We want to hear it. Oh, tell me more. We should focus on the good. And if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, so virtue and praiseworthy are things that are worth commending to others. And I cannot find or cannot think of a better example of something virtue, something virtuous and praiseworthy than Jesus himself. Jesus is true. Jesus is noble. Jesus is just. He is pure. He is lovely. He is of good report. He is virtuous. And he is worthy of praise. And then Paul concludes and says, meditate on these things. So this is where we should put our attention to. This is how we should think. Meditate means think. Think on these things. Things that are true, lovely, of a good report. Spend time thinking about Jesus. Philippians 4 verse 9, he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So now that you think or learn or know, act accordingly. If we fill our minds with these things, the God of peace will be with you. So the fear, the worry, the anxiety will be displaced, because the God of peace will fill your heart, will fill your mind. Romans 12, verse 2. And this is my last verse. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.